In our walk of faith, part of our mission or journey is being in relationship with the Lord. And that relationship with the Lord requires us to be talking to Him as well as listening. And this we call prayer. There are many wonderful and beautiful prayers that the church gives us, but we should also be able to talk to the Lord as we would talk to a friend and communicate to Him in that way. Be willing to listen in whatever way He wishes to reveal Himself. But in all honesty, sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes, even when we present ourselves in a quiet place to the Lord, we're not able to recognize any inspirations or any movements of the heart or anything that He might be doing. Sometimes we might wish that Jesus would do something for us like He did with the apostles, where He would just suddenly appear in their midst and talk to them more directly. Or like He did with John in our second reading, where He would appear and reveal all sorts of insights to him, reveal to him what the future holds. But that's not the ordinary way in which God interacts with us. He does this extraordinary kind of interaction when it is in the best interest of the whole church, when it's in the best interest of the disciples, the apostles. Jesus does very special things with them in our gospel passage today. But all of us are called to be in relationship with the Lord. All of us are called to pray. All of us are called to learn how to listen to the Lord in the stillness. Scripture tells us in another place that the Lord speaks in the silence and that the Lord has a still small voice. And so for us to learn to listen to the Lord is very helpful for us in our relationship with the Lord. Still, like I said, sometimes He does do extraordinary things when it is necessary, when it is beneficial for the whole church. And today we are celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday. This special celebration was given to the church by our Lord by first appearing to a humble Polish nun whose name was St. Maria Faustina Kowalska in the 1930s. Similar to what He did for the apostles and St. John, He appeared to her in a vision. He appeared to her many times, actually, revealing to her things about Himself. And St. Faustina recorded this in her diary, which is a very interesting read, and I would encourage all of you to consider getting her diary and learning more about it by reading it, more about the divine mercy, the mercy of our Lord. But in one passage, He says to her, In the old covenant, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today, I am sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. Jesus chose St. Faustina to be this messenger of His mercy. It's not anything new, though. Jesus' mercy is something that we can find throughout Scripture. The feast, the celebration of divine mercy is new, and He asked St. Faustina to help make that happen, contacting the church and instructing them what the Lord has shared with her. He said to her, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon the souls who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins may be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The feast of mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. And so Jesus is revealing once again to humanity the mercy that he has for all of us. This divine mercy that he revealed in person when he walked the face of the earth, this mercy that he's revealed throughout history, the mercy that he reveals in our sacred scripture and even in our gospel passage today. We see our Lord demonstrating his mercy. He talks about confession and communion. We see that in our gospel passage. Jesus says to the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." He's sharing the forgiveness of sins with human beings, with particular ministerial priests, in order that they be his instruments of mercy, so that through them he forgives the sins of humanity, so that through them we can all receive and benefit from the mercy he has to offer. But they were also gathered on a Sunday in the upper room with the doors locked. What were they doing there? They were doing what Jesus taught them to do, what he taught them to do at the Last Supper. They were celebrating Mass. And when they were celebrating Mass, Jesus came in their midst. Jesus was among them. Now, not everybody, not all of the 12 were present. Thomas was not there. But Jesus has mercy on Thomas as well. Even though Thomas wasn't there, he was told about Jesus coming. He was told about the forgiveness, but he wasn't there, so he said that he wasn't going to believe. Jesus, in his mercy, appears again the next Sunday while they're celebrating Mass. And he reveals himself. He reveals the wounds in his hands and in his side. This is the glorious resurrected Lord. Notice we don't hear anything about the wounds in his head from the crown of thorns. We don't hear anything about the wounds from the scourging. We don't hear anything about the wounds from his brutal beating. He let those go away, but he kept the wounds of the crucifixion. Why? This, too, is because of mercy. He kept the wounds in order to reveal that he truly is Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. He kept these wounds so that people like Thomas, who didn't believe that it was really him, could see the wounds, could touch the wounds, and know that it really is our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, that he truly is God, that he has power over death, and that he can bring about new life. And so he keeps these wounds as a sign of his glory and as a manifestation of his mercy towards all of humanity, that we may know who he is, and that we too may come to believe. But there's another aspect of mercy that we see in our gospel passage today. If we think about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was having his agony and the soldiers came, he was with his apostles. And yet when the soldiers came, all of his apostles abandoned him. In his moment of need, in his moment of suffering, they left him. In a way, it's a betrayal of our Lord. And so if we betrayed someone, if we betrayed a close friend, like the next time we see them, we're probably going to be afraid that we're going to be reprimanded or yelled at, or that person's going to want revenge on us. And yet when Jesus appears to them, what are the first words out of his mouth? He says, "Peace be with you." He's not seeking revenge. He wants to bring healing. He wants to be reconciled. He wants to share his merciful love with all of humanity, with his close friends who abandoned him and betrayed him. When we sin, in a way we are abandoning and betraying our Lord, and yet he's not out for revenge. He wants us to be at peace with him. He wants us to repent and return to him. He wants us to experience his merciful love and forgiveness. Jesus wants us to be confident in him. Sometimes we may hesitate, we may be afraid, we may be confused, we may think, "Oh, my sins are so bad that God's not going to forgive me." And yet our Lord, throughout Scripture, and even appearing to this Polish nun, wants us to know that his mercy is greater than any of our sins. In fact, he told her, as it's recorded in her diary, he says, "My mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world." The greatest demonstration, perhaps, of his mercy was becoming human and giving up his life on the cross for all of us. That he would undergo his passion and death and then have his resurrection to let us know that he is Lord of all, but also to know his tremendous love and the grace that he has to offer us, forgiveness and the opportunity to be with him forever in heaven. It's not something that we have to earn, but just something we need to receive and accept from our Lord. And we receive this mercy through trust. He says in another place in the diary, "Every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it." So we who desire the mercy of the Lord, if we have confidence and trust that he will provide, if we seek it out, we can receive it. Because the graces of mercy are given to us as a result of that trust and confidence in him. In another place in the diary, he says, "The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of only one vessel, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive." So we are called to trust in the Lord and his mercy for us, to trust in his love, to trust what he has revealed to us on the cross, that he cares about us, that he wants us to be with him forever in heaven. And when we receive this grace through the sacraments, when we receive this grace through prayer, when we receive his merciful love, we are to share it with others. We are to love him back by loving other people. Yes, loving him directly in prayer and adoration, in honoring him in many ways, but also loving him through our neighbors. He says to St. Faustina, "I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. You must not shrink away from this or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. I am giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. The first, by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy, and it is an unquenchable proof of love for me. By this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy." So when we receive the loving mercy of the Lord, we are to share what we've received with others. What does it mean to be merciful towards others by deeds? We can think of the corporal works of mercy, how we can take care of each other in a bodily way. When it talks about by word, most of the forms of the spiritual works of mercy are by word, helping others understand the faith, admonishing the sinner, and many other things. But one of the spiritual works of mercy, the seventh one, is praying for the living and the dead, which corresponds to what Jesus says about his third means of mercy, and that is by prayer. When we intercede for other people, we are showing them mercy. We're loving them and acting like our Lord, imitating him and his example. So not only are we to receive the abundant grace and mercy the Lord has to offer us through the sacraments, through this feast of divine mercy, through prayer, through sacramentals, through devotions, but we are also to share mercy with one another in these different ways, by deed, by word, and by prayer. So Jesus wishes to share with us his merciful love. He comes to us at every Mass to fill us with his grace. He comes to us through sacramental signs. We can enter into that mystery of his passion, death, and resurrection, where he becomes truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. His mercy and his love is so great that he came up with a way that he can still be with us today and be united with us, physically even, through the Eucharist. So let us take a moment to reflect upon this merciful love of our Lord, this divine mercy that he has to offer us. What I've shared with you is only a small part of the message of divine mercy. There is so much more. There's the hour of mercy. There's the image of the divine mercy, which we have in a shrine here at the church. There's the chaplet of divine mercy. There's so much more that could be said and shared about it. But rather than doing that now in this homily, I encourage you to consider taking some information about the divine mercy by going to the table with the divine mercy information with cards, with papers, with pamphlets, with pictures, and to take some of those free resources to go deeper into that merciful love of our Lord. And so in this next moment of silence, let us reflect upon that merciful love of Jesus, which comes to us in the Most Holy Eucharist.